The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tom Murray was elected to the role of Irish Pharmacy Union president last week, and there is a multitude of issues facing the organisation as he goes into his term. And he joins me now. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
If you were to number your challenges from the top down, what's the biggest one?
I think the two biggest ones are equal, Pat, is the administrative burden faced by pharmacists and the sector needs investment so we have a sustainable sector to be able to offer more services for patients. Those would be the two biggest issues facing members of the Irish Pharmacy Union at the moment.
Explain the administrative burden that your members have to endure.
Well, the administrative burden basically, Pat, is the amount of red tape that's required to produce services for patients in Irish pharmacy at the minute is absolutely incredible. And 90% of pharmacists that the IPU surveyed have told us that they're facing burnout and are at breaking point, to the point that where the regulator actually did another survey and 30% of pharmacists, particularly young pharmacists, were thinking of leaving the sector. So for an example, a patient wouldn't see this, but an email will come in from a doctor for a health mail prescription. That prescription doesn't become a legal document until we print it. Then we have to print two copies, stamp and endorse it before we go about processing the prescription. And currently, 1,700 community pharmacies print 78 million prescriptions per year. We print 78 million pieces of paper a year, which is absolutely incredulous. When we discussed the administrative burden with the minister, it's the one thing he said he would address very urgently at the Commons. And I was pleased to hear him say that as he stood on the podium. He said he would set up a group to urgently address the administrative burden, because we've had a lot of conversations with the Department of Health over the last year.
Now, I'm fascinated by these pieces of paper, 78 million pieces of paper. Where do they go? Where are they stored? Who gets a copy of the two copies made? Who gets what?
Well, currently at the moment, pharmacies store them both. We used to have an old system in pharmacies where prior to the COVID pandemic, when a GMS prescription was produced by a doctor, it was in a duplicate copy. The top copy went back to the HSE and the back copy was retained in the pharmacies. Currently, we retain both. If you walk into any pharmacy now, you can ask to see there what we parochially call the yellow bag room, where we have sacks and sacks and sacks of yellow bags of paper, which are just bringing buildings down unnecessarily.
Okay, so the doctors have the digital age. They can send the prescription via email to the pharmacy, but then the pharmacy has to go back to paper, print it out, and then store it. Does anybody ever look at that sack of paper? I mean, do the HSE come along and do random audits?
Yes, the HSE have the right to come in and do those audits and request a copy of the month's bundle of prescriptions, which is what they would have done prior to the pandemic anyway. But what we would say is that there's a change in legislation needed, and it's a very, very minor change, where the minister can say that a document doesn't have to be printed and a prescription is legal in its emailed format, using the secure servers and systems that we have between the HSE and ourselves, using health mail. And it could still be absorbed into the pharmacy computer. It could still be audited by the HSE. It's archaic that pharmacists are having to print 78 million pieces of paper.
Yeah. And what about backup? Digital machinery can go awry. So is there backup if you were to store these prescriptions just digitally? What would happen?
Well, every pharmacist does a daily backup anyway on their computers. We actually still use disks in the pharmacies, and there are cloud backups, and I'm sure that there are solutions around that can be worked out very easily.
Now, I suppose when you look at the parallel, all these pieces of paper, all of them command a fee. But I know that you're not happy as an organisation about the level of fees. You effectively say that you've had a pay freeze.
Well, we have had a pay freeze for 16 years, and 80% of a pharmacist's time is currently spent administering state services on behalf of the state, and those are the community drug schemes. And 100% of pharmacies would tell you, when we do our service, that they actually subsidise the work they do on behalf of the state. So as far as I know, we're the only contractor to the state who has to pay the state to provide services to patients and to the public. 16 years ago, we had an average fee of €6. And actually, interestingly enough, in 2009, the Department of Health's own process, where they outsourced a process to Mr. Sean Dorgan. He recommended a sustainable flat fee of $7.50, and we currently receive on average about $4.58. We haven't had a pay rise in 16 years. Obviously, the costs of doing business, heat, light, power, the cost of living, pay rises for staff to keep up with the cost of living have risen exponentially. So pharmacists are sitting at the minute where more than 10% of pharmacies are losing money. They're talking about cutting back on services. They're talking about cutting back on hours. And what we're looking for is for investment in the pharmacy sector for two reasons. Number one, so that we have a sustainable model for now. But number two, to align ourselves with Minister Donnelly's task force, where we want to be able to provide far more services to patients who regard our services highly. But to do that, we be able to invest in our businesses and invest in the services. So we do need the state to seriously look at investment in the pharmacy sector.
I was wondering about this business of pharmacies are always telling us that they want to do more, and yet the survey is telling us they're burnt out. Now, if you're burnt out, you don't want to do more.
Well, there's ways to ameliorate that, and that's investment in our people and investment in more staff and investment in efficiencies in the business. The pharmacy patients, the Irish public, tell us they want to do more. One of the things that the pandemic showed us was the level of trust that patients had in pharmacists, where we became the de facto triage service for the state. We stayed open with no consequence to our own health or that of our families. And we looked after a worried nation, not just with vaccines, but constant advice. The Ipsos poll in 2023 said that pharmacists are the most trusted professional in the state by the public. So, of course, the public want us to do more, and we want to help that. The minister does have a vision for pharmacies doing more, which will help reduce the waiting lists at doctor's surgeries. And we really want to play our part in that. Every pharmacist that I speak to, especially the young pharmacists coming out qualified now, they want to be able to operate at the top of their clinical game.
So throw me a vision of the future. If you were to get your way, what would the pharmacist of, say, 2027 be doing that the pharmacist of 2024 is not doing?
Well, the pharmacist 2077 will be in line with the minister's task force, who has 20 recommendations coming out in June. Some of those are prescribing for common clinical conditions. Mm-hmm. So if you come into the pharmacy with conjunctivitis, as an example, I could treat the medical card patient in the same way with equity and equality that I treat the private patient. And I could prescribe and give you the medicine for that rather than sending you to the doctors for a common clinical condition, which is taking up time in doctor surgeries. I would be using a medicine shortage protocol whereby the medicine was prescribed to me, the 300 commonly out of stock medicines we have at the minute, but I knew I had an alternative that does the same job on my pharmacy shelf. I could give that to you, without having to refer you back to the GP. I would never hold a pen again if I was a pharmacist in 2027 with my vision, because the IT systems would have been updated so that we don't need to be shuffling pieces of paper around. There's a range of services, from screening services to medicine management services. There's a whole range of services that both the minister and the public would like us to be delivering, and pharmacists would like to deliver if we get given the chance through investment in the sector.
Now, what you've said is investment in the sector. What does that look like? I mean, how much money per pharmacy, and what would that money buy?
What we're looking for in the IPU is a flat rate of $6.50, and to get rid of the tiered fee structure that we have. At the minute, we have a tiered fee structure where for the first 1,000 patients, you get paid one fee, and then it gets less, and then it gets less again. So in essence, what that means is that the state values the service provided in the first week of the month to the patients who come in that week higher than the second week and the third week. So what the IPU is looking for is a flat fee of $6.50 for all schemes administered on the state drug schemes. That's €1 less than what was recommended by Mr. Sean Dorgan, the department's own appointee, in 2009. That, at least getting rid of the tiered structure and giving us a respectable flat fee, would allow pharmacies to then say, OK, we have a stable basis in which we can now make decisions to invest in our business. As I said earlier, there's 10% of pharmacies losing money, 100% of pharmacies subsidising the current state schemes. We need to move beyond that so that we can then look at investment in new patient services to keep the public and keep up to pace with public demands.
But really what you're saying is a proper fee structure, which isn't even at the level that was recommended 16 years ago or whatever, that would allow you guys to invest yourselves. You're not looking for state grants for hardware or equipment or anything like that. You would do it yourselves.
We're looking for a stable fee that enables us to be able to invest in our businesses, to invest in patient services that we provide.
Now, the question of opening hours, you know, there was a time when certain financial organizations had to be forced to open at hours that were appropriate to their customers. You know, they were expecting us all to leave our office desks and go to the bank, for example, during office hours in order to cash a check. Now, those days, everything has changed, I know, but they had to change. What about pharmacists? Is there a case for extended opening hours and making sure that no one is ever stuck to fill a prescription when they're really sick?
There is an argument for extending pharmacy hours. Of course there is. And most pharmacists, certainly in urban areas, they run rota systems and they do tend to open longer hours. For me, rurally, in my practice in East Donegal, I can't remember the last Christmas day that I wasn't brought into the pharmacy to dispense something or that I didn't get a phone call. In my early days, when I first opened the pharmacy, I used to live in the flat upstairs from it, and people would routinely come by and throw stones at the window to get me to come down. Pharmacists don't refuse their patients. Whether we need to have permanent longer hours is a discussion that has been based upon public demand. There was a time when the out-of-hours doctor service, when that was set up, the idea of that was that they would stock all the emergency medicines that would give patients up to 2 days' supply, so there wasn't any need for out-of-hours pharmacies. That system itself is already under massive pressure. So pharmacists would open extended hours if the investment was there to allow them to do that. But at the end of the day, we are businesses, and we can't keep opening on a loss-making service.
Okay, because now, when you mentioned Christmas Day, you mentioned you were brought down. presumably you had taken a convivial drink and you could not drive yourself down.
Yeah, I remember one occasion I had a patient who had run out of insulin, and I was just after finishing the Christmas dinner and I'd had two glasses of wine, and I said, look, I'm happy to go in, but I really can't drive. So she came and picked me up. I went in and dispensed the medicine and she brought me home again.
A very happy Christmas day indeed. What about drugs shortages and how that's impacting on the business that pharmacists do every day? In other words, filling the scripts of their patients.
So currently there are over 300 commonly used medicines that are short in Ireland. And these are medicines for diabetes, for blood pressure, ADHD, Parkinson's disease. And the European average, I was actually listening to a presentation from somebody from the PGEU, which is the pharmacy group of Europe, at our conference. The European average is about 9 hours a week that pharmacists spend on their chasing drug shortages, ringing manufacturers, ringing wholesalers, ringing doctors and putting extra pressure on doctors and asking the doctor for an alternative, even though the pharmacist's clinical knowledge is there where he can say, I could actually use this medicine that's sitting on my shelf that does the same job. It's a huge impact. It takes us away from our patients, but more importantly, it delays the care the patient is receiving. If I have a young mother with a child with an ear infection and I haven't got the penicillin the doctor has prescribed, and I have to ring the doctor, wait till I get through to an extremely busy doctor, and then the doctor come back to me. The patient has left the pharmacy. I then have to ring them and ask them to come back. All the time you have a child with an ear infection in pain, being delayed care because the medicine shortage protocol isn't put in place. The biggest part of the role that is affected by the medicine shortage is the ability of the pharmacist to give immediate care to the patient. The medicine shortage protocol for severe shortage medicines would deal with that immediately, and the patients wouldn't be delayed care. In terms of the amount of hours that we spend on chasing medicine shortages, it's incredible. It's getting worse. I think a year ago or more, the list was around 200. There's currently 300 short medicines in Ireland, and 48% of pharmacists surveyed believe that's going to get worse again this year.
Mm-hmm. And what's the problem with implementing the medicine shortage protocol?
It requires the minister to take action and to make it a legal thing that we can do that, because it requires the minister to take action to say, okay, pharmacists can implement this change. And we would ask the minister to do that urgently.
And we'll echo that. Tom, you have your hands full over the term of your presidency of the Irish Pharmacy Union. But Tom Murray, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.